I wonder when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, what thoughts come to your mind? Possibly in the weeks that coming, we'll think of the Lord Jesus Christ born as a baby in Bethlehem, visited by shepherds. You might think of him walking the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea with his disciples, stopping to preach and teach and heal. You may think of him as the one who laid down his life on the cross for our sins, the one who prayed, "Father, forgive them." Luke has been telling us of the resurrected Jesus Christ appearing to the disciples, showing himself alive by many infallible proofs, appearing to the disciples in the garden, in the upper room, on the road to Emmaus, by the Sea of Galilee, appearing to over 500 at once. But tonight I want to invite you to think especially of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who ascended up into heaven. The one who ascended up to heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and through the Holy Spirit is involved in the growth and spread and witness of the church here on earth. And there is actually much more information about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he ascended up to heaven. There's much more about this in the New Testament than perhaps we at first realize. So I hope it will be our joyful purpose tonight to explore the importance of the ascension and to reflect upon it and see how it will empower and help us and encourage us to live as disciples of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. We read Luke's account, and at the end of Luke's gospel, the account of the ascension is quite brief. In verse 50, we read that Jesus led the disciples out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And Luke's emphasis there is on the observable and tangible and real nature of this event, that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. He parted from the disciples. He ascended before their very eyes. This wasn't a dream or a vision. They were not asleep. Their eyes were not closed. As their eyes were fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to ascend. He began to be taken up. And then a cloud of glory covered him and hid his reunion with the Father and the Holy Spirit and the hosts of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. Luke makes clear the fact of the physical ascent of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says the disciples looked up intently into the sky. He's saying that the ascension was a historic event. Like the virgin birth, like Jesus' baptism, like the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water, like the Lord Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, like Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, like the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, Jesus really ascended up to heaven. Now you may think, why do I stress that? Well, I stress it because sadly there are preachers who do not accept the authority of the Bible and who do not accept that this event actually really happened. The late Anglican Bishop of Woolwich, John Robinson, he wrote an infamous book called Honest to God. He was speaking in a Methodist church on this theme, the theme of the ascension. And he mocked Luke's account of Jesus' ascension, saying that Luke's account made the Lord Jesus Christ out to be a spaceman or an astronaut. He told his listeners that this didn't really happen at all, and he claimed that the ascension was a myth and that he wanted to demythologize it. He even claimed that Luke did not intend this event to be taken literally. Now that is typical of liberal modernist unbelief. He was a man who claimed that he believed in the ascension, but he denied that the Lord Jesus Christ actually ascended up from earth to heaven. And that takes some getting your head around. Luke could not be more clear. that the ascension of Jesus Christ was a real event in space and time. A cloud of witnesses observed it carefully. It happened before their very eyes. They were eyewitnesses to this event. And in case we have any lingering doubts about the importance of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and his role as the incarnate Son of God in heaven, let me just stir you to think that this is an important event, the ascension of Jesus, not only for your enjoyment of God's salvation, but also to encourage the church in its mission of proclamation, spreading the gospel here in Finchley and in North London and in our country and all over the world. Luke is telling us the eternal Son of God, who became the incarnate Son of God, came into this world. The one who was born in a true humanity through the womb of the Virgin Mary. The one who took upon himself a human nature, flesh and blood. The word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. There was a beginning of the life of Jesus Christ as the God-man. He came into this world from heaven. He devoted himself to fulfill the will of his Father as the Savior of the world. But now Luke is saying, as the God-man, Jesus Christ has returned to heaven. And he returns to heaven as the victorious Savior and King. His role as the incarnate Son in heaven since the ascension should not be neglected. It's something that values our prayerful attention and study and meditation. It's why the hymn we sang was right to say, look, ye saints, look, Christian, it's saying. The sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. Jesus here on earth, the man of sorrows. But now, from the fight returned victorious. He's returned in victory to heaven. Every knee to him shall bow. And Thomas Kelly says, hark, he says, listen, think that when Jesus returned back to heaven, those bursts of acclamation, all heaven acclaimed him as the returning King of glory. Hark those loud triumphant chords. You can picture the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ was received back into heaven and when he ascended up on high. Jesus takes the highest station, the highest place in heaven is his by sovereign right. Oh, what joy the sight affords. Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. So I hope by the Holy Spirit tonight we've been able to look and say, yes, the sight of Jesus' ascension is something glorious to us. Because it helps us to remember the achievements of Jesus the Messiah, his ministry here on earth finished, but now exalted in heaven through the ascension that the Father sent the Son on a mission which was not completed until the Lord Jesus Christ returned to heaven in the manhood that he'd assumed. The Lord Jesus Christ did not leave his humanity behind here on earth when he returned to heaven. No, he returned to heaven as the God-man. There is a man now in heaven, a real man, the proper man. His mission has been completed. And from heaven, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, the God-man preaches the word of God, builds the church, continues the work of gospel proclamation to the ends of the earth. The Father and the Son poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But the day of Pentecost did not occur till the incarnate Son was enthroned in heaven, co-regent, co-ruling with the Father. And now present with us in the church by the Holy Spirit, whom the Apostle Paul calls the Spirit of Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So when we think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might think of the period from his birth in Bethlehem to his resurrection from the dead. That life described for us in the Gospels, and especially that emphasis on the last 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. But there is this danger then that we forget there is an ongoing heavenly life of Jesus Christ that began with the ascension and which continues to this very night. And some information about that heavenly life and ministry of Jesus Christ is found in the Gospels, but then more is revealed in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Epistles. Here in Luke, we have a brief disclosure that the doors of heaven were open to receive the returning King of Glory. But we are told about this event again and again through the rest of the New Testament. So, for example, in the book of Acts, we read of Stephen, who was martyred. But before his martyrdom, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." The ongoing heavenly ministry of Jesus Christ. Or the Apostle John, the writer of Revelation, had visions of heaven. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos. And he saw the exalted Son of God. And he heard the Lord Jesus say, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death." So the emphasis is on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ's work did not cease when he was raised from death. The ascended Jesus Christ is still at work in heaven. And the descriptions of Jesus' continued work are found in all of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Rome that Christ is now at the right hand of God, and there he makes intercession for us. The writer of Hebrews proclaims, "We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man." The apostles were thoroughly convinced that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and that through the Holy Spirit, they were in vital spiritual union with him. So the writers of the New Testament look back to the earthly life of Jesus, and they had a present faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who'd accomplished salvation by his life, death, and resurrection. But that he had this ongoing ministry, exalted in heaven, and that he would return to judge the living and the dead at the end of the age. And so there are what we might term New Testament creedal statements that reflect this ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read a couple of them to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." See what Timothy is being told? Jesus Christ received up in glory. That's referring there to the ascension. Or Peter referring to the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." So you see again what Peter is emphasizing. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who accomplishes salvation, has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Or just one more, Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So let's look first tonight at the fact of the ascension. This is an event, a real event in history, described for us by Luke in his gospel. After the Lord Jesus had explained to the disciples how the Hebrew scriptures pointed to him and his work, after he'd commissioned them to proclaim the gospel, to be witnesses to him, he led the disciples out of the city, and then the ascension occurred. So as the Gospel of Luke began with the reference to a righteous priest, Zechariah, who was unable to give God's blessing to the congregation of the old Israel, so it closes with Jesus, the resurrected high priest of the new covenant, giving his blessing to the new messianic Israel. Zechariah went into the temple of Jerusalem with a prayer for the redemption of Israel. The disciples of Jesus go into the temple with joy and thanksgiving. The redemption of Israel has been achieved. And there is a new covenant inaugurated by Jesus Christ through his shed blood. And as the Lord Jesus Christ blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And that's why I read from Acts chapter 1 as well, where the historicity of this event is emphasized. Now, when Jesus had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus spoke to them words they needed to hear. Now, when he had spoken these things, telling them that the power they would need to carry out the mission that he'd given them would be given when they received the Holy Spirit, he was taken up, a cloud, a symbol of the glory of God, the Shekinah, which descended on the tabernacle in the wilderness, to enter the Shekinah glory, was to go into the Holy of Holies, the immediate presence of God. As the disciples looked up, we are told the cloud received Jesus Christ in glory as he returned to heaven. And the disciples were told that Lord Jesus Christ would certainly return in glory, but not yet. They had a commission first that had to be fulfilled. And the hint in Luke 24, verse 51, he was parted from them. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10, as he went up. The hint is that initially that ascent began slowly, and there's a contrast between that and the sudden disappearance of Jesus Christ that Luke describes in verse 31, for example. After his resurrection appearance to the disciples, he vanished from their sight. But the ascension was something they saw with their eyes. They saw him return to heaven. He was carried up into heaven. It was a divinely ordained act. So there's the fact of the ascension. And then secondly, the meaning of the ascension. I think Luke is telling us here is an event that completes the resurrection. It can be understood as completing the mission which Jesus began when he was born into this world, when he became incarnate, a mission which took that specific form when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, through his earthly ministry, and then he voluntarily laid down his life as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world, that he was raised from the dead, and then he ascended back to heaven. He became the first fruits of his people. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear that word, first fruits. Sometimes we think of first fruits as an offering that was brought to the Lord from the agricultural produce of the land, harvest time. But the idea of first fruits means more than the first fruits of harvest. The Bible is telling us by his resurrection and ascension, Jesus as the God-man becomes the first fruits for his people, the guarantee for those who trust in him, that redemption and sanctification and glorification are ours in union with him. Indeed, the Bible will tell us that there is a sense in which believers ascend with Christ into heaven, so that where the head is, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, there also are the members. So if I was to ask you tonight, where are you seated this evening? Where are you seated? Well, you might say to me, we are seated here in a church building in London. But here's a mind-blowing fact that Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, that believers in another sense are seated somewhere else. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us. Not the people who are in heaven. Made us. Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, how can he say that? He's saying it because Jesus has ascended up on high. Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, we are ascended up with him. You see the vital union that the believer has with Jesus Christ, and that is the guarantee of our glorification. So where are you sitting? Not just in Kensett Evangelical Church, seated in Christ in heavenly places. Because the ascension then implies glory. The Lord Jesus Christ did not just ascend into heaven to live there. He ascended to heaven to be exalted there. Exalted at the right hand of the Father. The exalted Messiah, enthroned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He reigns as the head of creation and of the church. So in a sense, the ascension then is that movement which began with the incarnation. Jesus Christ became a servant. He laid down his life for our sins. But then there is this victorious entry into heaven for Jesus Christ as conqueror of sin, death, and Satan. The ascended King of glory who gives gifts to his children and to his church. Perhaps one day we'll learn this hymn, 293, in the hymn book. If we were in Scotland, we could sing this hymn, and there'd be plenty of people who would know it, and we could sing it every week. But here's Psalm 24 in our hymn book, describing the return of Jesus Christ to heaven. Ye gates, lift up your heads on high. Ye doors that last for aye, that last forever. Be lifted up, that so the King of glory enter in. But who of glory is the King? The mighty Lord is this. Even that same Lord that great in might and strong in battle is. Ye gates, lift up your heads, ye doors, doors that do last forever. Be lifted up, that so the King of glory enter may. But who is he that is the King of glory? Who is this? The Lord of hosts, and none but he, the King of glory is. And there's a great ending to that hymn. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Amen. Well, it's a description of the reception that Jesus Christ received when he returned back to heaven. And that theme is developed everywhere in the Bible for us. Because that's when his intercessory ministry then began. And the worship and the prayers of the people of God then are offered through Jesus Christ as the exalted high priest of the people of God. So the ascension began the reign of Jesus Christ, a new age. Jesus Christ now physically absent from the world, but experienced and encountered in and through the Holy Spirit. And we await the day when Jesus Christ will return again from heaven to judge the earth, the living and the dead. But with the ascension, the age to come has begun. It's experienced on earth now only in part and through the Holy Spirit. But it will be known in full at the last day when Jesus Christ, the King of glory, returns to this world in glory. So we have the fact of the ascension. We have the meaning of the ascension. The ascension tells us that Christ is the exalted King of glory. He didn't just return to heaven. He received glory and honor and is now crowned with glory at the right hand of God the Father. For us then, the blessings, thirdly, of the ascension. The fact of the ascension, it was a real event. The meaning of the ascension, Jesus is the King of glory. What about the blessings of the ascension? So when I tell you what a welcome Jesus Christ received when he ascended to heaven, when the voice of Almighty God sounded out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I'm saying that is a blessing for all God's ransomed people. If you're a child of God, one day you will receive the same welcome. Are you joined by faith to Jesus Christ tonight? Are you in union with him? Are you in Christ? Then one day you will be received into heaven. And the reception you will receive is like the one Jesus Christ received. And the assurance I have for that is that the Lord loves those who are in Christ. with the same love with which God loves his own son. The Lord loves those who are united to his son by faith. His love is not a reluctant love. His love is not a meager love. His love is an extravagant love. Before every Christian lies an abundant welcome into heaven. Are you joined to Christ tonight? You will enter heaven and your welcome will be like unto his. The Ascension tells us heaven's gates have been opened for all the people of God. The body is unbreakably joined to Jesus, the head. He has ascended up on high. We are sitting in heavenly places in Christ. We will receive that welcome when we leave this world, when this passing world is done. We will enter heaven and we will receive that welcome in Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ tells us where he has gone, that is where we will go. Think of what would have happened if the Lord Jesus Christ had given us no information at all as to where he was going. If he'd simply vanished from this world. But no, says the Bible, it was not like that. He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So we know there is a place where Jesus Christ is at this moment. It is the other side of a thin but effective veil that separates us from the sight of heaven. But Jesus is on the throne of heaven. He reigns as King of heaven. So I'm saying heaven is a real place. And it's described to us in the Bible in various ways, as a city, for example. In other words, not a lonely place, not a cave halfway up Everest, not an uninhabited desert island, not a distant star, but a city with activity and life and happiness and peace and joy. No sin, no crime, no darkness in that city, no poverty, no beggars, no slums, no underprivileged. No cardboard city. There's peace and light and joy and love there forever. It is secure. And why do we know it is secure for the people of God? It is secure for us because Christ has ascended there. I go to prepare a place for you, he has said. So it's a real place, as real as London or Manchester or Swansea. It's the most delightful place. The best place that God can provide for his children. And one day, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, you can be with that ascended Lord of glory. Blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood, in new resurrection bodies, all his elect, a vast number, like the stars in the night sky. We've just come back from north of the Arctic Circle. The sky was very dark at night. Could see the stars in the sky, thousands and thousands of them, the Milky Way, thousands of stars. Jerusalem, the golden, with milk and honey blessed. And all God's people will be there. Like the stars in the night sky, innumerable, so God's people innumerable. Guaranteed a place in heaven because they're joined by faith to Jesus Christ. And the ascension is that guarantee. The future glories that await all those who are in Christ. So death, men and women, are not going into nothingness. They're not going to be annihilated. They're not just going to sleep. We're all facing that open-ended encounter with God. And those who trust in Jesus Christ will enter the joy that's before them. And in his presence there will be fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. So the ascension put Jesus Christ in the place of glory and also the place where he can work most suitably today. When we think of men and women who have died, we think perhaps of Winston Churchill, who was a great man. I've been reading about a woman, a brave Iranian woman called Zahra Rajabi, this last few days. But you see, what is their ongoing influence, say, to the millions of Christians in India or China or South America? But from that place of glory and exalted glory in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, active, alive, working for his people everywhere, building the church by the Spirit through his word, making intercession for his people, pouring out the Spirit in times of blessing. Innumerable company of angels now do his bidding. We are still in this fallen world. We are tempted by the God of this world. But the ascended Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And you know, we have no awareness, do we, of how the help of angels has ministered to us from the ascended Lord of glory. How many occasions has God protected and defended and helped us, guided us, all those messengers of God, the angels sent at his command at the bidding of the Saviour. And now he ever lives to intercede for his people. He watches over his loved ones. He prays for them. Let's never imagine at any time that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't understand what we're going through. That ascended one who sits on the throne, the Son of God, he has taken our nature to the throne. He's never released that human nature. He's entered our experience. He knows what it's like for nails to be hammered through his hands and feet. Jesus Christ, he knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what a loss of the felt presence of God feels like. He once stood in the darkness and there was no comfort and he cried out, "Why?" No man ever needed God as much as he needed God at that moment. But he cried and the Father turned his face away. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross bore such a burden. All the bulls of Bashan surrounded him. He hasn't forgotten any of that human experience. He has carried that reservoir into heaven. If only we could hear the ascended Jesus Christ now whispering our names into the ears of his Father. If we could listen with awe at what he's saying as he tenderly prays for us. What courage we would have to live for him. The Lord Jesus Christ praying for us that our faith will not fail. Praying about our chronic pain, that in our physical weakness we will not stop trusting in the goodness of God. Praying for us about the way we miss a loved one, perhaps someone you were married to for many years. But praying for you that in that bereavement you want to stop trusting in the love of God. Is praying about a financial situation that someone has an urgent concern about paying the bills. And the Lord Jesus Christ praying that we won't stop trusting in God to provide for all our needs. Praying about our secret discouragement, that in the night of dark despair, we won't stop trusting him. He will lead us into the light. He prays for us when we wander into sin, that we'll not stop trusting in his forgiveness, that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Luke is telling us the ascended Jesus Christ is praying for everything we need. There is this one man, this real man, this proper man. He's been given the only name by which we can be saved, the name of Jesus, but it's a name now high above all, high above every name, the ascended Lord of glory. He commands all the hosts of heaven, all the angels, to do his will. And he's head over all things to the church. And he rides on his white horse, and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. And he urges you and me tonight to trust him. To trust in him as the ascended Lord of glory. And I'm saying, who cannot but trust in so powerful and gracious and wise and wonderful a Saviour? And it's from that throne in heaven that Jesus Christ will return one day. And he'll return in glory with all the hosts of heaven. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and comes back the second time, he will not leave heaven behind. He will bring heaven with him. And he'll create a new heavens and a new earth. And he'll call heaven to accompany him to earth. He will bring the presence of God to the people of God. So the voice from the throne declares, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God." This King of glory will return. He ascended up on high. He will come back. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And we say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, even so, come. Let's pray together. Amen. Lord, we bless and we magnify you as the ascended King of glory, the one who will return one day to this world in triumph, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful truth this is for us, that the ascended Lord of glory watches over us, prays for us, cares for us, and one day will come for us. And we have this unbreakable guarantee that in Christ tonight, as he was received into glory with shouts of acclamation, those loud triumphant chords, one day every child of God will also be received into glory because of Jesus Christ, only because of him, in him, washed in the Redeemer's blood, clothed in Christ's righteousness. And Lord, as we look to you as the ascended King of glory, we say, even so, Lord, come, come, Lord Jesus, return in glory. But until that great day, we pray for the spread of the gospel here in London and in our nation and in the nations of the world. Oh, that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord Jesus, we bring you praise and thanksgiving, King of glory. Hear our prayers and accept our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, which is not in our hymn book, but it's this. I wanted to pick up on, continue this theme of Christ in us and us in Christ, union with him. That's the guarantee of glory. So we're going to sing the hymn that we've learned over the last couple of years. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. And as the music starts, we'll stand to sing this hymn.
All the glory evermore to him. grace is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Lord, we bless and we magnify you as the God of salvation. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, the ascended King of glory. As we look to him tonight, in all the wonders of his love and grace towards us, we remind ourselves of all that he has accomplished by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And now as the ascended King of glory, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He lives in the power of an endless life. He is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Oh Lord, we thank you that there is this sense then whereby all the children of God are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Help us to delight and revel in this and to know this assurance in our hearts that one day too all the people of God will receive that glorious welcome into heaven and be received there by the King of glory. Our eyes shall behold him and we shall see him as he is and we shall be made like unto him. And until that great day, keep us looking to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Accept our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.